I wonder if any of you have ever been caught up in a time when everything was moving faster than you could track, and you felt like things could fall apart at any minute, or maybe like you were just hanging on for dear life. Probably it's just me, I don't know. But I wasn't sure I was going to make it to this day today with the week that I've had. You know how much I love what I do here. And of course, the danger for all of us of loving what we do is that we end up doing too much. I think this is a danger we face in all of our lives, whether it's at work, whether we're at home, whether it's with our children. It seems to me to have spread now throughout the culture, in fact, that we live in a time and in a culture where taking on more than one single person can accomplish, saying yes all of the time, and trying to make it all happen smoothly is pretty much expected of all of us. Do you feel that way too? I feel luckier than many people because I have this joy and wonder in my work of being a dreamer, of being able to dream and see and believe in miracles. I can dream wonderful dreams in the midst of this community of faith and in the midst of our life together. This here is the place where I experience that anything truly is possible. Anything is possible. And I see so many wonderful visions and dreams and mysteries unfold unto fruition. And I hope you get to see some of them too. Well, there's a powerful and curious miracle today in our gospel lesson, familiar to most of us, of Jesus walking on the water and Peter jumping right in to go out and meet him. I'd like to share with you some reflections that Bishop Curry wrote and shared on this passage. Well, he actually spoke them out and shared on, and then I wrote them down, to see if we can reflect upon some of the questions that he invites us to consider regarding this passage in the gospel. So as the story begins, Jesus, it says, made his disciples get into the boat. He made them get into the boat and begin to cross the Sea of Galilee. And then he decides to have a little quiet time himself. And so he goes off, and his quiet time doesn't end until the middle of the night. And then he's not with them. It's the middle of the night, and a terrible storm arises. Now remember, in this time, there's no such thing as artificial light over in the distance. And I imagine the moon and the stars were not visible in the middle of this storm. There might have been a lamp in the boat. And there was loud thunder. There was lightning crashing down. The seas were tempestuous, and their boat was being tossed to and fro. And so they're in danger. They know that they're in danger. And they're in a kind of terror of not knowing if they're going to make it. They are hanging on for dear life. And in the midst of that, they see Jesus walking on the sea. And that scares them too. They cry out. They're fearful and they're confused. But Jesus speaks to them, and they recognize his voice. They hear the sound of his voice, and that is the voice that matches the vision of who he is. And so they say, "It is the Lord, it is he." Now Peter, who is often quick to speak in the Gospels, challenges Jesus. If it is you, command me to come to you on the water. I don't know if he was crazy, I don't know if he was brave, or maybe he was so scared that he thought Jesus was his best option at that very moment. But Jesus said, come on out. And Peter jumps out of the boat and begins walking toward Jesus. walking on water. Now, often we stop here and say, there's the miracle, there's the miracle, Peter and Jesus walking on water. But another way to frame this, suggests Bishop Curry, is that the miracle, the true miracle, is that right in that moment in time, Peter is doing the exact same thing that Jesus is doing in the world, in the present, in that present moment. Peter is doing the exact same thing that Jesus is doing. And what is it? He's walking. He's simply walking. We can all walk, no big deal, right? Yet in walking on water, Peter is doing more than he ever could have imagined would be possible for himself or for any human being. And as long as he keeps his eyes focused on Jesus, he's good. He's going to make it. But then he becomes distracted by the wind, the noise of the wind, or perhaps the wind nearly blowing him over. And he goes right back into his fear and he begins to sink. And out of that fear and out of that despair, he cries out to Jesus, who takes him by the hand and pulls him up. Powerful story. I wonder if you remember that sort of fad, WWJD. WWJD. The bracelets, the necklaces, ankle bracelets, with the message representing the question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? It was a way of reminding us to ask ourselves and perhaps others what God would be calling us or inviting us to do in any given situation. Or in another way said, how is it that I could follow Jesus right now? Right now. How could I follow Jesus? Well, the question that Bishop Curry raises for us in his message was a little bit different than WWJD. He suggests that we might ask ourselves, what is Jesus doing in our world? What is Jesus doing right now in our world? Where is Jesus in our world? Go find Jesus and do what Jesus is doing. As Christians, we are called to this vocation of following our leader, who is Jesus. We are called to follow Jesus in the way of love, in the way of compassion, in the way of forgiveness, in the way of goodness, in the way of prayer and of faith. We are called to do this over and over again until our lives are so connected with his life and his teachings that we in turn bear his life into the world, that we in turn reflect his life into our world. We are the arms of Jesus, we are the feet of Jesus, we bring the heart of Jesus to others. Teresa of Avila, who was a mystic and a nun in the 16th century, wrote this prayer that I'd like to share with you. It's a beautiful prayer that puts me in mind of a kind of a mantra. I just did it. I just went to the line. For the first time, I'm... Okay, just a second here. So Teresa wrote this beautiful prayer, and it's like a mantra to me, and I want to read it to you. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks in compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, yours are the body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no eyes, no feet but yours with which to look with compassion on the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. End of quotes. It is that which you and I do that brings the love of God into our world. We nurture our children, we strive to love one another, we strive to serve others. We fail sometimes, and sometimes we hit a home run, and most of the time we're somewhere in between there. And each action, every act of service, every gift of love and care is you doing that which Jesus is doing in our world. It is easy to fail to accept or believe such a thing. It is far too easy, I confess, to be caught up in the busyness of our lives and miss moments when Christ's light and Christ's love can shine through our simple actions. It is easy to fail to find Jesus in our world because we often look outside of ourselves for the light of Christ, when as we follow Jesus in our own lives, we are the light of Christ. We are his light. Consider these questions. What is your boat of safety? What do you see Jesus doing that feels impossible? Where do you see Jesus inviting you out of your safety zone? Where might you be the hands to reach out, the feet to walk alongside, the eyes to see with compassion?